The next reading is from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fears of the Jew, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Easter. In my 20s, when I eventually got around to passing my motorcycle test, I bought a Kawasaki KZ550 Limited Californian Edition. This had semi-chopped handlebars. This had a four-cylinder, 549cc engine with clean air exhaust reburn system. It went like stink, and it cornered as if it was stuck to the road with glue. In my 30th year, I bought myself a Virago 750. This was a V-twin engine, fully chopped handlebars, didn't go as fast, and it actually cornered like a cow on roller skates. I can tell you this because just 3 weeks after buying this bike, I managed to prove it didn't corner very well. And in the process, I did £2,000 worth of damage to the bike. I smashed my fibula into three pieces, and my ankle was a rotational, 180 degrees rotation with vertical impact. Yes. They suggested I could stay in hospital for a while and have it pinned, and I didn't like the idea of staying in hospital, and so they let me go home just in plaster, and I still walk slightly funny to this day as a consequence. In case you've noticed, I walk slightly funny and wondered why, that's why. So not only do I walk slightly odd, not only is it slightly stiffer than my left ankle, I can tell when the weather's changing because it hurts. And living in the UK, it hurts a lot. But also, I don't have any kind of visible scars, but I've got the scar internally on the bone that causes that. And actually, I've got some scars up here. Because actually, even now, when I go into a right-hand bend, I will always, always slow down and bring the bike more upright than ever a left-hand bend. And far, far more upright and slower than bends should be taken. The reality is, I am extremely fortunate that I only have those mental scars of right-hand bends and the scars on my bone. But actually, there are probably other scars I have, both physical and mental and emotional, through the things of life. Life deals us some strange experiences, and they scar us, sometimes positively, sometimes negatively, but we carry those marks on us forevermore. Many of us go through difficult times. We carry scars of betrayal or grief and loss, scars given us and scars that sometimes we give ourselves, sometimes through foolishness, like my accident, right the way through to the desperation of self-harm. Scars that as life goes on, as things improve, we can sometimes begin to regret, to feel ashamed of. Scars that we try to hide, deny, or begrudge. This picture is Robin Williams showing off the scar that he got from open heart surgery. And we can see that scar, but what we never saw were the scars that he carried emotionally that resulted in him eventually taking his life so tragically at such a, just such a sad end. Now, for a while, I've been trying to figure out why it is that when we celebrate the rising of Christ from the dead, the defeat of sin and death by Jesus Christ, Jesus becoming the resurrected victor over everything that life on this earth can throw at him, including death itself. Why, when we worship and celebrate the risen, conquering, manifested Son of God, does he still bear the scars in his hands and feet and side? I've been trying to figure that out for a while, and it just doesn't seem right, does it? When he is the firstborn of the resurrection, that he still carries those scars of his brutal execution. We've read that Thomas insists that he won't believe that Jesus is risen until such a time as he can see for himself those scars. And Jesus appears before him, displaying them for all to see, with no shame, with no remorse, with no regret. And for a long time, like I said, this just didn't sit right with me. It didn't seem that Jesus should still be scarred after the resurrection. He should be this wonderful new example of what we hope for. And then I think I got it. Jesus is God. And God is eternal. Jesus, as a man, dwelt on this earth for just a short time. But Jesus, the atonement of our sins, the one who restores relationship between us and God if we will but accept it. He does that. He exists both before the beginning of time and at the end of time and all the way through time. Jesus carries those scars for this reason. In my past, in your past, we've done things wrong. We have hurt ourselves and we've hurt others. In having experienced hurt and loss, or in having behaved badly towards others, in having indulged our own selfishness and placed ourselves above the needs of others, we have been scarred. And right now in the present, Jesus Christ bears those scars for us. He takes the pain. He suffers the consequences of the actions that led to them. Jesus, right now, at this minute, is offering to take the pain and the anguish of those things which would scar us, so that we can journey with Father God, free from baggage, pain, hurt, anguish, and scars. Jesus exists right now, scarred in the present, so that the things of our past do not have to hinder the wonder and joy of our future. Jesus stands between past and future, occupying the present, scarred. So some people follow astrology, and they will claim that the position of the stars relative to our birth can influence and predict our future. And they will say things like this: your future is written in the stars. And I want to tell you today, this fantastic, beautiful, blessed Easter morning, that the position of the stars mean nothing to the degree of happiness or fortune or peace or joy that or rest in the rest of your life. They mean no more than what you had for breakfast. But your position with respect to God is governed by your relationship with Jesus Christ, and as such, your future is written in his scars. I felt very strongly when I was preparing this that that there were going to be people here today that are scarred, whether that's physically or emotionally or even spiritually. There will be people here who despair of what those scars mean. There will be people here that fear what those scars say about them. They may well be physical scars, like I've said. They could be emotional, spiritual. We, this morning, don't just celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and his defeat over death, although it is integral to our faith. We also celebrate the love of Jesus, which offers to heal our scars, to bear them for us. I've in recent years heard of several miracles where the scars of self-harm have been healed and taken from a person, because the love of God wants to redefine that individual in his love, not in their scars. If we believe that such an indelible mark on our bodies can be removed by the love of God, then certainly the emotional ones can too. Some scars might remain, but we are taught in the Bible that it's in our weakness that God is strongest. It might therefore be that what has scarred us will help Jesus achieve the greatest work for God's glory yet. Just as Jesus bears those scars still for us, so it is that those scars that are his identity, so they identify him as our Savior. It remains possible that that it's in our scars, therefore, that Jesus can yet rebrand our identity to one that glorifies God. So simply, this Easter, I would really want to urge you to speak to me or somebody down the front at the end of the service if you want to know more about this offer of healing, this offer of changing and removing your scars in whatever shape they may be for you. I'd like to remind you that your past is being dealt with here in the present so that your future can be one of joy, that your future is written in his scars. And I want to wish you every blessing in the name of the Father, God Almighty, who loves us enough to send his Son, the risen Lord Jesus, who loves us enough to hang on that cross, to enter the tomb, and to rise again for us, and in the Holy Spirit, who will sustain us until we too are resurrected with Jesus. Amen. May you feel the joy of the presence of Jesus. The Lord has risen to bless us this Easter, and I pray that the love of God is resurrected, reborn, and renewed in your hearts. God bless you, and happy Easter. Amen.